All right. Well, good evening. Good to see you all this evening. And any of us that are online, if you would stand, if you can, we're going to start out by rejoicing with Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is all I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. And I worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you.
Amen.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me. Rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Okay, well, good to see each and every one of y'all tonight. What are you doing, Brother John? You aiming for something? Click me off. You're not clicking me off, brother. You need more than that to click me off. You have to get something that's got some gunpowder with it. You won't shut me down. Amen? All right. Good to see y'all tonight. I'm really impressed that we had this many come back after our fellowship this afternoon. We didn't have a whole lot stay for the fellowship, but the fellowship was good. Amen? And as promised, the burgers were awesome, were they not? Amen. Angus burgers, none of the cheap stuff, only the best. And so we thank Brother Ronnie and Miss Alita and the union. They provided that, or Brother Ronnie and Alita provided that. It was awesome. It was great. Good food. Thanks for everybody that cooked and got all the smoke up their nostrils and in their eyes and smelled like a burger, still smell like a burger. Had two baths and still smell like a burger. Amen. I was thankful that everybody had their eyebrows. You know, you start cooking all that stuff, you get that flame up, singe your eyebrows, come right off. Amen. That's good. You had your glasses on, so you had a little PPE on, personal protective equipment. Amen. Good, good, good. Do we have any praises tonight? Any praises? Any praises? Yes, sir. Josie has.
Right, she doesn't have to have chemo. She's able to just go in once a month and take a pill.
Okay. All right.
I asked my son-in-law, daughter, about her, and they said that, you know, her spirits were down, but now, since she doesn't have to do chemo and everything,
yeah. So monthly treatments for the cancer. But no chemo. All right. Amen. Amen. That's good, good, good. What else, Miss Biggie? Yeah. All right. Addison's doing great. Yearly checkup. Praise the Lord, man. That's good, good, good. All right. Other praises. What else? What else? Yes, sir. All right. Terry's in Jackson, Mississippi, for the dark team with Samaritan's Purse. Samaritan's And they are going to be assisting a hospital there with COVID patients. All right, there in Jackson, Mississippi. All right, all right. Praise the Lord. She had good travel, safe travel. What else? Other praises. Somebody got saved today. Anybody going to say that? Y'all want me to say it? Praise the Lord. Amen. D. Pierce. Yeah, D. Pierce received Christ this morning, and this morning's service will be baptized Sunday. And so, looks like they're going to commute from Centerville. Yeah, going to commute to church from Centerville. It's a long drive. Yeah. Long drive. We'll enjoy that family as long as the Lord allows us, but I'm praying they find a church in Centerville. But, you know, hey, I get it. I understand. All right, D. Pierce Salvation. What else? What else? Praises. Any other praises? Yes, sir, brother. Amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, amen, brother. Right. Amen. Amen, brother. Thank you. Yeah, that's a good word. Good word. Yeah. Yeah.
And so one little girl, I said, come on, grab this, carry it over there. And so we talked to the fire people, and they let her get up in the truck. She started the truck.
Oh, my soul.
She about jumped out of the seat. and then she turned the lights and stuff on. And
that's great.
And then they had her put on a jacket that weighed like 30 pounds.
They're heavy. Yeah, yeah.
But praise God that they were very.
So they were receptive. They enjoyed the food.
I don't know yet, but yeah.
Amen.
But, it made that little girl's day.
Amen. All right. Very good. Praise the Lord. All right. What passages of Scripture have touched you this last week? Or Bible stories? Elijah. 450 prophets. One man versus 450 prophets of Baal and Asherah. That's right. Amen. One man can make a difference. Amen?
Amen.
Or one woman, or one person, one Christian. Very good, very good. All right. What else? What else? Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Amen. That's Psalm chapter 73:26. Amen. Good word. Good word. Anybody else?
This
Matthew 7:14. Amen. Wide road which leads to perdition, right? That's right. Anybody else? Verses that really blessed you this week. Yeah, Miss Vicki. Proverbs 9:10. Beginning of wisdom. Yeah. Amen. That's a good one. Let's see here. My soul. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs 9. 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Amen. All right, that's a good word. All right, all right. Well, let's hear those prayer requests tonight. Prayer requests. Angie? Terminal cancer. On hospice? Not yet. All right. Angie, terminal cancer. Yes, sir. Deployed military to Afghanistan. And what's his name? James Chin? James Chin. All right. And that's your grandson. Amen. All right. Deployed military to Afghanistan. All right. Other prayer needs? Yes, Vicki. Okay. Amen. All right. Is it with Brother Bill? Bill and service for your nephew, Joe Burrow, Jerry Burrow. Jerry Burrow. Tuesday. Coming Tuesday. Mm-hmm. How are they doing it now with the... Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah, right. I hear you. Yes, sir. Yeah, what scripture? Yeah, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Amen. That's a good word. Amen, brother. Thank you for that. Other prayer needs. Yes, ma'am. Johnny Hyman with the COVID. But the whole family's gotten it. He's the one that's got it the worst. Yeah. That's amazing. It hits the men harder for some reason. I don't know why. Wife and daughter. Granddaughter doing better. Already feeling better. How long have they had it, do you know? Okay. Okay. All right. Johnny Hyman, COVID, family with the COVID. What else? Other prayer needs? Pray for our healthcare workers. This thing is supposed to peak in late October, so we're just in the beginning stages of it. So healthcare workers. And then school teachers, that's right. Tomorrow here. School teachers. What else? Oh, yeah, pray for my dad. Dad had spent Wednesday, Thursday. Came home Friday. He did actually get out of Parkland. He never got in a room. They ended up ambulancing him back to the house. And then caregiver today, somebody comes on the weekend to help clean him up and change him and everything. Something happened with the port, that feeding port, and it ripped away and exposed some of his ribs. So my mother said his ribs were sticking out of his sticking out of his body, so they had to call another ambulance. This time it looks like he's going to get to go to Charlton Methodist, which is the, you know, kind of the hospital close to them. So that's a good sign. But just a lot going on in Bob Lee and Louise Lee's life. So be in prayer for them. I don't know if he had it all, if he had it to do all over again, if he had gone for the feeding thing, or just, you know, you got to try. You know, you got to give it one last shot. So I think that was his attempt to try to be around for my mom, but I just don't know if he's going to get any better with this stuff. So be in prayer for old Bob Lee. That wisdom and discernment on how he wants to exercise his last days. Amen? Amen. Yes, ma'am. Paul's surgery on the 18th. That's going to be, is it Wednesday? Yeah, 18th. Ooh, amen. That sounds like a good morning. Yeah, you retired folks don't get up that early anymore. No, we don't get up that. That's the middle of the night for us, man. 5:30 in the morning. James already worked. He's already burning the rod at 5:30 in the morning. Amen. All right, let's lift these prayer needs up. Good to have visitors with us tonight. Tracy, good to have you back with us on a Sunday night. Yeah, give a round of applause. Amen. Let's lift these things up, and we'll get into the meat of it tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, and as we think about these praises, Lord, we just rejoice in the fact that we're living in the church age, and your grace is incredible, and your mercy and your salvation. Lord, we're thankful that salvation came to D. Pierce today, and D, under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, received you as her personal Savior and Lord, and solidified that in her heart, and landed on August the 15th for her spiritual birthday. And Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory for that. We pray for that family, Lord. We pray for her husband, her two daughters, and Lord, we just pray that you help her, you strengthen her, Lord, you undergird her. Lord, I pray you help her grow as a new believer, and Lord, she'd just be a great Christian wife, Christian mom, and Lord, you would just show to her here pretty early, pretty quick, what her spiritual giftedness is. And Lord, allow her to get to serve in you, in your church, this church or another church. Lord, we just lift her up, pray for that family, thankful for her decision today. We're thankful for Josie Hess, Lord, in this no chemo situation that she's in, just this monthly pill that she's taken. Lord, we pray you continue to be with Josie and bring healing to her body, Lord. Just help her through this cancer that she's dealing with. But we praise you for that. We do praise you for Addison's good checkup, Lord, her yearly checkup. We're so thankful that she's still doing well. Pray that that would continue. Lord, we're thankful for Terry's safe travels to Jackson, Mississippi with Samaritan's Purse Dart Team. And we just pray that you protect those physicians and nurses and different key players that are in that tent hospital, Lord. Help them just have an impact for Christ as they minister to people's physical needs with this COVID stuff. Watch over them, Lord. Protect them. Lord, we're thankful for Miss Vicky's visit with Brother Bill. And, Lord, I pray that was a sweet memory for her and just encouragement for him and for Miss Karen. Thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for all the scripture that was shared tonight, Lord, the story of Elijah, and Lord, your people talking about Psalms and the Proverbs and the Gospel of Matthew. We're thankful that people are in the Word throughout the week, and that, Lord, they're feeding themselves, and Lord, meeting with you and just being encouraged with your Word and being ministered to as they pray. Thank you for that, Lord. We praise you for that. Lord, as we lift up these prayer requests to you tonight, we pray for Angie, who is still terminal with a cancer. We pray for her comfort. We pray for her healing, Lord, if it be thy will. Lord, we pray for our deployed military that have, Lord, that we've had military pulled out of Afghanistan. Now we're sending 5,000 back into Afghanistan. We're praying for all the logistics and all the travel of that, Lord, and just pray you keep Americans safe. Diplomats and civilians and all of that stuff as they try to get out of of Kabul. Lord, be with that country. We know there's going to be just an incredible transition and potentially a lot of bloodshed and just atrocities against women as this Taliban takes back over the country of Afghanistan. We pray, Lord, that somehow, some way, Christianity would take root there. Somehow, some way, that the people of Afghanistan would get a belly full of it. And, Lord, there would be an uprising, and this extreme Islamic stuff would be pushed to the side. The Taliban would eventually be marginalized, Lord, and this part of Afghanistan's history would transition to better days, brighter days. We do pray for Israel in the midst of all this, that you would protect Israel as this gets an unstable area with the Taliban coming up in charge in Afghanistan. But Lord, we just pray for those deployed military. Keep them safe. Watch over them. We specifically pray for James tonight. We pray hedge of protection around James Chin. Lord, watch over him and help him. Lord, we lift up these services for Jerry Burrow. We pray for your comfort and, Lord, your help and your strength in time of trouble. And saying final respects and paying final respects to Jerry Burrow, Lord, just be with those folks. We lift up Johnny Hyman's family, Lord. We specifically pray for Johnny as the head of that house. And, Lord, kind of the worst of the COVID he's experiencing. And, Lord, we pray that he's able to get the fluids that he needs. And, Lord, we're praying that he's perhaps is able to get this antibody treatment. And, Lord, we pray that he doesn't have to go to the ER and be admitted. We're praying that he would get over this. And, Lord, we're praying that he'd not have any long-term, any permanent lung damage or damage to his organs or to his body from this COVID episode that he's going through. We're thankful that his wife and his daughter and his granddaughter are on the mend from it. And, Lord, we just praying for Johnny tonight. Pray that you help him. We lift up our healthcare workers, Lord. We pray, again, you strengthen them. You give them resolve. You give them just a multiplied, a want-to and effort to see this thing through all the way to the end of October. We pray that things would begin to lighten up as more people are vaccinated and more people have antibodies against this thing. But, Lord, we just pray that our health system would not collapse, that these hospitals would continue to stay open and people would continue to be treated for car wrecks and heart attacks and everything else that's going on in people's lives. But we lift them up. We pray you strengthen them. We lift our school teachers up. We do pray a hedge of protection, Lord, or we're asking for a hedge of protection around New Hope Christian School, that, Lord, there'd not be any COVID come in the doors, that, Lord, you would just miraculously protect this place, protect these teachers, protect these students. Just watch over them in a special way, Lord. We pray for a good first day, first week of school. Thank you for the Christian curriculum, Lord. Thank you for the ministry of a Christian school. We pray that it just continues to impact kids for the kingdom and impact families as they take that Bible truth home with them each and every day. Lord, we do lift up Bob Lee to you tonight. We pray for his life. We pray for his wisdom. We pray for my mom's wisdom. Lord, help them figure it out as a couple, what the best treatment plan is, if it's to go to a nursing home, if it's to try to come back home, if it's to just try to get comfortable and get ready to meet Jesus, Lord. Just give them what they need. Help them figure it out. And Lord, I pray that you would give me the words of compassion and kindness and the words of love to minister to them as best I know how as they go through this difficult time. Lord, finally, we lift up Brother Paul to you as he gets ready for this lung surgery on Wednesday. We pray that, Lord, we just pray right now for the surgeon. We pray for the anesthesiologist. We pray for Brother Paul. Pray for all those surgical nurses. Lord, everybody's going to be having a turn, having a hand on Brother Paul. Lord, we just pray they take extra special care of him and that, Lord, this procedure brings healing to his body, restores him back to full health. And, Lord, we just praise you for the miracle of medicine, to be able to have these procedures and Lord, have extended life because we catch these cancers early. So thankful that he's able to catch that cancer early, Lord, and it's not spread in his body. We just praise you and thank you for that. Lord, we just lift you up. We praise you tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord, lead, guide us, and direct us as we go through it tonight, as we continue on in Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said. All right, take a copy of God's word. We are in Revelation chapter 14. I will invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Revelation chapter 14, 14, 14. Back of the book, almost to the end. Revelation 14, verse 1. You find it?
Amen.
Amen, amen. Revelation 14, verse 1. The word of God reads in Revelation 14, 1. Those of you, we got anybody online with us? All right, hey man, good to see you folks online. We're in Revelation 14, beginning in verse 1. Did we have any prayer requests that we needed to? No, okay. Revelation 14, verse 1, it says, "Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless." All right. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. And may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we're talking about the ultimate Christian winners, right? The 144,000 are those ultimate Christian winners. Last time, we related our own personal spiritual victory to these 144,000, right? But we said that our victories are incomplete, and that our victories are what? Are marked by setbacks and marked by defeats, because we're still struggling with sin. We're still struggling with the flesh. And then we talked about this most triumphant group of men the world will ever know. We gave you some background and review. We said by the point of the 144,000 coming onto the scene in the tribulation, the world will have experienced the unimaginable horrors of the first six seals. Against the backdrop of persecution and disaster, the 144,000 are introduced to us in the story of the last days. They will survive both Satan's wrath, they will survive Satan's persecution, they will survive God's judgments on the sinful world. Nothing will be able to harm them, which begs the question, why can they not be harmed? We looked at it last time, and on Wednesday night, we talked about how they have been sealed. Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 through 4. I'll invite you to flip back there, Revelation chapter 7. Be accustomed to jumping around, because the book of Revelation jumps around in its time frame. Revelation 7, 3 and 4 says, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. Now, the 144,000's existence and survival speaks of what principle in the Word of God? Remember, we asked that question on Wednesday night. It speaks to the principle that God always does what? He always preserves a remnant. That is correct. Always a remnant for himself. Always, right? Now, they will be like the remnant of Malachi's day. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another." We talked about today in our message about, you know, the church is full of men pleasers who put their personal relationships with one another above the principles and the Word of God. We talked about how I'm trying to hold you accountable to the Word of God, but I'm trying to do it from this desk, from this pulpit, from the Word of God. But you, as lay people, you have got to literally hold each other accountable.
You've got to do it to the Word of God. By the Word of God. What did these people, the Malachi 3, 16 and 17, good book to preach through, maybe the next Old Testament book we look at, but it says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. What in the world did they speak to one another about? Well, you read Malachi chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through 3:15, you'll figure out what they were speaking to one another about, all right? Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. Whenever people, congregations, churches quit putting relationships above the Word of God, it gets His attention. This is what He says. And heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem His name. Didn't you just share tonight, Miss Bickie, about fearing the Lord? Amen. And esteem His name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. There will be a remnant. These 144,000 will be a remnant like in Malachi's day. Throughout history, God has done what? God has protected those who belong to Him. He preserved Noah during the flood. We talked about that a little bit Wednesday night. He kept Rahab safe when Jericho was destroyed. He preserved Lot from the destruction of Sodom and kept the children of Israel what? Kept the children of Israel safe, Pastor, from the plagues that devastated Egypt. Psalm 37, 39 through 40, we covered Wednesday. It says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. Now, remember tonight as we think about these first five verses and the 144,000 and the state of affairs that are going on in the tribulation. Remember tonight that not just the 144,000 will be redeemed during the tribulation. A great number of Jews, a great number of Gentiles will be saved. But many to most of those, Jews and Gentiles, will what? What will happen to them? They will die as martyrs during the savage persecution unleashed by the Antichrist. So those who survive with the 144,000 through the horrors of the tribulation will enter this real thing. It's a real thing called the millennial kingdom. Everybody say that with me. Millennial kingdom. They're going to enter into that per Isaiah 65, verses 20 through 23. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah tonight. Isaiah, a lot of chapters in Isaiah, man. 65. We're going all the way to 65. Are you kidding me? Yeah, Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 20. Tell me when you found it. That's one. Who else? That's two. Isaiah 65. All right, sounds like the most of us. Isaiah 65, beginning in verse 20, the Word of God reads this. No longer will there be in... No, hold on, I can do it. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. They will build houses and inhabit them. They will also plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and another inhabit. They will not plant and another eat. For as the lifetime of a tree, so will be the days of my people. And my chosen ones will wear out the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. Do you see it? Do you feel it? That is a prophecy right there of those living out their days in the millennial kingdom. But the 144,000 Jewish evangelists are unique. What happens to the Jews, or a lot of the Jews and a lot of the Gentiles that get saved? They're going to succumb to death. They're going to be martyred. They're going to be persecuted to death. What makes these guys so unique? All of them will survive. All of them right? Right? When Christ returns and stands on Mount Zion, they will stand with Him in triumph. They'll stand with Him in triumph. So, as we've kind of taken a swing at this, as we've kind of looked at this in broad fashion, let's do a little review, right? Let's see if we're all on the same page, right? So, hopefully you're still with me. And if you're with me, let's review, and hopefully you'll be with me as we get through with the review. As we think about where we're at in chapter 14, Revelation chapter 12 through 14 of Revelation forms a parenthetical break in the saga of God's final judgments on the sinful world. 12 through 14, 12, 13, and 14. We find ourselves here at the last chapter of this parenthetical break. The unfolding of those judgments is described in chapters 6 through 11. That was some scary stuff. As God will begin to do what? As He will begin to take back the earth from the usurper Satan. Who has the title deed to the earth? Jesus has got the title deed to the earth. Who has usurped God's authority? Satan has usurped God's authority. Who is allowing Satan to usurp? God the Father in His sovereignty is allowing Satan to usurp Jesus' authority over this earth. But starting in Revelation chapter 6, when we unleash these judgments, when we unleash these seals, the usurper is going to start feeling the pressure. The usurper is going to start losing his grip. The usurper, Satan, his days are going to be numbered. Now, chapter 11, verse 15, let's look at that real quick. Chapter 11, verse 15. The Word of God says in 11:15, then the seventh angel, the seventh trumpet, right above 15, it says the seventh trumpet, Christ reigned for seen. Then the seventh angel, 11:15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. All right, the seventh trumpet and Christ's reign for seen. All right, 11:15. Records the sounding of the seventh trumpet, though the judgments associated with that trumpet will not begin to unfold until we have finished Revelation chapter 14. All right? So, you see what's going on? And just a reminder, I know we've talked about this, probably been over a year ago, but just a reminder, just remember how the judgments work, okay? We had six seals, and then we had a seventh seal, and the seventh seal contained six trumpets. And then we have this seventh trumpet, and guess what? The seventh trumpet contains seven bowl judgments. So just as one set of judgments are about to end, here's another set, always in the seventh one of the previous judgment. Does that make sense to you? Amen? We had six seals, and then the seventh seal contained the six or contained trumpets. Six trumpets, and then we get to the seventh trumpet, and it contains seven bowl judgments. All right? Just kind of reminding you what's going on here. Chapter 12 and chapter 13 retell the events of the tribulation from whose perspective? They retell the events of the tribulation given from Satan's perspective. Chapter 12 exposes Satan's efforts. All right? What does Satan want to do? He wants to destroy Israel. He wants to give detail on the path of the Antichrist. When we get to chapter 13, that deals with the persecution of the final false prophet, right? So when we get back to chapter 14, which we introduced Wednesday, we're returning to what God is doing. We've been looking at what the devil and His unholy trinity are going to do. Now we're back to what God is doing. Chapter 14 contains three visions that give a general preview of the judgments yet to come that culminate in Jesus Christ's return. Chapter 14 is a bright contrast to the darkness of chapter 13, which describes Satan, who's known as the dragon, which describes Antichrist, which is also known as the beast out of the sea, and which describes the final false prophet, which is the beast out of the land. Chapter 13 reveals to us deception, reveals to us the unredeemed, reveals to us idolatry. Chapter 13 reveals to us the mark of the beast. Chapter 14, where we started Wednesday night and taking it tonight, describes the Lamb, describes angels, talks about redeemed saints, gets into genuine worship, and references those that are sealed by God. In chapter 13, there's falsehood. There's wickedness. There's corruption. There's blasphemy. In chapter 14, but on the other hand, in chapter 14, there's truth. There's righteousness. There's purity. And there is praise. So we've introduced it, 14, 1 through 5. We talked about it last time. We kind of connected the dots of spiritual victory. We talked about how we kind of struggle with victories in our own life because we're still dealing with this sin stuff. But boy, we get to the tribulation and we see what? We see the greatest group of winners of all time, 144,000. So as we jump off into verse 1 after a lengthy review and trying to connect some of the dots and some of the points of light going on in this saga, in this great story of the end time of the last days. Number one, if you're taking notes on this, I'm beginning verse 1 now, we see a monumental moment, in redemptive history. Look at 14:1. Then I looked and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Now, the appearance was predicted thousands of years in advance. The psalmist wrote of this moment in Psalm chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. Writes of this moment. Psalm 48, verse 2 says, "Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great King." Amen? Isaiah 24, 23 says, "Then the moon will be abashed and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem." In our passage this evening, the very fulfillment of those predictions has now arrived. Jesus is on Mount Zion, and with him are 144,000, these that have been sealed. 12,000 for each tribe of Israel. Now, there are some errors. There are some errors in dealing with this passage. What are some of the errors in dealing with this passage? Some view this passage as a vision of heaven. But this passage describes the return of Christ to the earthly Mount Zion, right? Mount Zion. In fact, the whole point would be lost if Mount Zion refers to heaven, because that would mean that the 144,000 had all perished, had all died. If they die, then their sealing, the fact that they've been sealed with the mark of God, Revelation 7, 3 through 4, Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, would be rendered meaningless. What was the point of them being sealed? Isaiah chapter 11, verses 9 through 12. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 23. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. Also support, these passages I've just given you, also support the identification of the Mount Zion in this passage with the earthly Mount Zion. Amen? That a voice comes out of heaven in verse 2, they're on the mount and they hear a voice coming from heaven in verse 2, also suggests that this scene is on the earth. Now, we're talking about what are some errors in dealing with this passage. Some commentators insist that the number 144,000 is not to be taken literally. Oh, you can't do that. You can't take it literally. They argue that this number symbolizes the church, or this number symbolizes tribulation saints, or history's most outstanding Christians gathered together in heaven for this scene. And again, I'm telling you, this is not in heaven. This is on the earth, Mount Zion. Some cults insist that this number refers to them, which poses a problem for the cults with more than 144,000 members. Who's in, who's out, right? I'm here to tell you that their identity is not in doubt per the Word of God. This is a group of 144,000 real live people, 12,000 Jewish believers from each of the 12 tribes of Israel per Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 8. So we see a monumental moment in redemptive history. Number two, if you're taking notes on this, we see the uniqueness of this group, how unique they are in this same redemptive history. They are an army, a literal army of militant believers. I mean, they are eat up with it. They are off the chart Jesus freaks. You understand what I'm saying? They don't ask the question, what would Jesus do? They going out doing what Jesus did. Make sense? All right. They will march headfirst into every danger. Just like Jesus goes into the very home synagogue of the people who want to destroy him, and Jesus heals a man with a withered hand. Hey, you want to kill us? Not a problem. We're coming to you to preach the gospel to you. You're going to get upset? That's okay. They will defy the devil. They will defy the Antichrist. They will defy the false prophet. They will defy the image of the Antichrist that the false prophet breathes life into. They're going to defy it all. They are called to preach the gospel from the housetops, and from the housetops, they will preach it. When even to name the name of Christ will call for the most dreadful penalties. People will try to kill them and won't be able to kill them. They will walk the streets in broad daylight, careless of the teeth-gnashing rage of their would-be torturers and assassins. I love this about the tribulation. I mean, I don't plan on being in it. I plan on being, again, in somebody's urn on a mantle or in the ground somewhere or raptured to the great beyond. I don't plan on being in the tribulation. But it speaks. You got to see the grace of this. You got to see the grace of this. The church has been taken out. You got to see God the Father in His sovereignty still offers the gospel during the worst of the tribulation. It's just mind-blowing to me, right? That they will walk the streets in broad daylight, careless of those that are wound up, careless of those that are wanting to take them out. They're just going to keep on doing what they have been given to do. Amen? Amen? They will be the true witnesses of Jehovah in the most terrible era of the history of mankind. Now, as we've already mentioned, I make the point again, they are protected by their seal. Verse 1 says, "Then I looked, and behold, 144,000, and having His name and the name of His Father written on their foreheads." Unbelievers will receive a mark. Remember, we talked about the mark of the beast, right? Per Revelation 13, 16, and 17. The 144,000 will have the mark, or we call it a seal, right? And that will be by God placed on their foreheads, chapter 7, verse 3, for their protection. Satan and the unbelieving world will desperately seek to kill these powerful, fearless preachers of the gospel. But having sealed them as His own possession, having sealed them, God will not permit them to be harmed. Amen. So throughout the unimaginable outpouring of God's final judgments and Satan's final fury, they will preach the gospel. They will confront unbelievers with their sins. They will confront them. They will call them to repentance and faith in the Savior and proclaim that the events taking place as God's righteous judgments over the earth. And despite Satan's best efforts, all 144,000 will survive to meet Christ on Mount Zion at his second coming. Now, they will enter the millennial kingdom as living men. They'll be alive during the millennial kingdom. Where are me and you going to be? We're going to be in the throne room of heaven. They're going to be part of the millennial kingdom. Right? Now, are you ready for this? What on earth will they be doing during the millennial reign of Christ? What are these 144,000 going to be doing? Scholars have suggested that the 144,000 are going to do what? Well, they're going to continue their evangelistic work throughout that thousand-year period. Now, let's follow the reasoning of that, okay? Who enters the millennial kingdom? Who in the world enters the... Only redeemed people will enter the millennial kingdom. However, what's going to happen to these people? They're going to marry and be given in marriage. They're going to procreate. There's going to be children born to them. And guess what? Not all these kids are going to believe. Not all these newborn people in the millennial kingdom are going to believe. In fact, there will be enough unregenerate people by the end of the thousand-year period for Satan to lead a worldwide rebellion against Christ's rule. Now take your Bibles, and we'll try not to steal too much thunder from the end of the book, but let's look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, let me know when you find it. All right, amen, amen. Revelation 20, beginning in verse 7. When the thousand years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and destroyed them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So, the Bible does speak of salvation during this millennium, right? Back to the great book of Isaiah, or Isaiah, depending on how you say it. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." So, salvation, the 144,000 in my studies, that's what they're going to do during the millennial kingdom. They're going to keep on keeping on praising God. Amen? And telling people about the gospel, right? People think, I don't know where it comes from. I think it comes from a selfishness. I think it comes from a pride issue. I think it comes from some hardness of heart. People think that when we get to glory, we're going to get, and we sing this song about a mansion on a hill, I think, and really that word in the Greek is talking about a room. Talking about a room, not a man. Talking about a room, right? Not a mansion. I think people have the perception that, you know, man, I'm going to die, and I'm going to go to heaven one day, and I'm going to get my spread of 80 acres and my bass field pond, and I'm going to do whatever I want. And friend, the economy of eternity is going to be you worshiping God. Amen. You worshiping the Lamb. You worshiping in the throne room. Well, what are we going to do besides that? Well, we're going to do some other things, but I mean, it's not going to be about your leisure. I do think it will be about you reconnecting with, say, family and friends, but I don't think your experience in heaven, based on what the Bible shows us, it is going to be some extended holiday for anybody. It's going to be... So when we get to the millennial kingdom, the millennial kingdom is going to be Jesus ruling from Zion, ruling from Jerusalem, and it's going to be a beautiful time. But free will is still going to exist. And there will be some that reject the gospel. And there will be this falling away here at the end of the 1,000 years. And after that, we get into some other topics. But the story of these victorious survivors, and I'm out of time, so let's wrap it up. The story of these victorious survivors illustrates what? We shared the truth as we introduced this passage, and that is this. The divine side of triumphant Christian living, right? The divine side of triumphant Christian living. You take our flesh out of it. You take our sinfulness out of it. You take our failings out of it and everything else. And there is a beautiful divine side of triumphant Christian living. And secondly, the story of these victorious survivors illustrates what? God will preserve His own. Amen? You got a remnant, right? So, what do you want to be? What do you want to be in these days leading up to the last days? You want to be a remnant, and you want to be victorious. You won't be victorious acting like the world. You will not be victorious acting like the world. You will be victorious the more you are like Christ. You won't be perfect in that, but you want to seek to be what? You want to seek to be more like Jesus each and every day. More like Jesus each and every day. More like Christ, right? The only way that happens is by the Word of God, by prayer, by fellowshipping with the saints, right? By loving people, right? By sowing the seeds of the gospel. That is the only way that there's no shortcuts, there's no easy button, there's... That's just the way it is. Amen? So, you will be that. You will do that, right? You will be the remnant, and you will be the victorious Christian that God's called and created you to be. Amen? Just get that right in your head, right? This is who I am. This is what I'm going to be this week. The victorious Christian, and I'm going to be the remnant. I'm going to be a part of the bride of Christ. I'm going to be the part of the bride of Christ. You got to think outside of terms of this is our church. You got to think outside of terms this is New Hope. You got to think outside. We are the bride of Christ. And what did I say today? The world is watching. Are they going to see us as the same as what's out there? Or are they going to see us as drastically, markedly different than the world? Right? The world, secular, is embracing Marxism, critical race theory, woke movement, Black Lives Matter, left-leaning agenda stuff. The world is taking it hook, line, and sinker. We're not. We're sticking with what? The gospel. The gospel, the gospel. These churches that dabble in that are adding to and subtracting away. Stick with the gospel. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these last days that we get to study about, Lord. And based on our interpretation of the scripture, we'll not be here for that. But Lord, we know it's going to be a rocking and rolling kind of time. But Lord, we see the grace and we see the mercy and we see your sovereign hand even in the midst of all that as you seek to save those that desperately need a Savior. Father God, we pray that your word would continue, that it would accomplish the purpose for which it was sent, and Lord, it would continue to bring the redemption to lost man and lost woman. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough to die on a cross to take care of the penalty of our sin. We love you tonight. Give us safety as we leave this place. Give us a good week as we go into it on Monday morning. And Lord, we just pray that we would look to you. We would look to you in times of trouble. And Lord, we would be lovers of people. And Lord, we would pray for those in need and sow the seed of the gospel when we are given that opportunity. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed. See you folks online. Y'all have a great... rest of your evening and have a good coming week. Amen? Amen. All right. Good night.